This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. It is truly an honor and a privilege to be here with you as we will get you ready for round one of the NCAA tournament coming up right after the show. Kansas plays Arkansas, and at 6:35, Missouri plays Drake in the first round of the NCAA tournament. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here as well, taking you up until 6 o'clock. We have a lot planned for today's show. We are going to bounce back and forth between the two. I understand that I cheer for Missouri, but Kansas is also playing in the NCAA tournament. We will cover them as well. Coming up in about 15 minutes, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, will be on the show. The voice of the Arkansas Razorbacks will be on the show coming up later today as well. We're also going to be joined by Michael Swain. So, KU fans, I promise you, we have you covered here on The Drive today, getting ready for their first round matchup in Providence against the Razorbacks. We're actually going to start with KU because their game comes up first on the docket. Rob, we're going to ask people to do two things today. Number one, we want you listening to the show at 2 o'clock for all your scores, updates, and information on the NCAA tournament. And number two, if you could just tell one friend about the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it. Rob, let's actually start today talking about Kansas and Arkansas. And the reason I want to do it is I do think that this matchup is potentially defined by coaches who need to transition from what they were when they were at their heyday and their peak. We have talked a lot about this season about KU and Bill Self's potential problem adjusting to the transfer portal era. I believe that Bill Self is the best coach at college basketball if you're going to allow guys to stay 3-4 years. If you allow Kansas to build continuity as a program and develop guys, we have seen his track record, and he is one of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport. As the game has shifted and become much more about rental players and one-and-dones in a very different sense than maybe the mid-2000s, I think that KU has struggled a little bit in a way. But I don't think that their struggles are anything like what we've seen with John Calipari. John Calipari's system, when he was at his absolute best, when he was at Memphis competing for national championships and doing the exact same thing at Kentucky, it was predicated on freshmen. Well, the freshmen that you were getting are now different than the ones that you were getting in 05, 2006. So I went back and I looked at the last first round, the handful of first round players that John Calipari has put into the NBA. last season, he had Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham. Rob Dillingham can't get off the bench in the NBA, and Reed Sheppard, the last time that I looked, he was toiling away in the G League. That's different than when you were getting John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, guys who stepped instantly into the NBA and were major contributors. You then look at Cason Wallace, who was drafted in the first round, Shaedon Sharpe, who was drafted in the first round, Isaiah Jackson. I mean, Rob, these are the players for John Calipari that have been drafted in round one post-COVID. And there certainly was a stretch there where you were putting guys like Carl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Julius Randle, guys who have gone on to have double-digit year careers in the NBA, and guys who have turned out to be good players. Hall of Fame players have come through Kentucky. Anthony Davis was named to the NBA 75 team. They have had some elite-level prospects that John Calipari has produced. That's not the case anymore. DJ Wagner was the number one overall recruit. Everybody wanted him. He made the decision to go to Kentucky. He then transferred and followed John Calipari to Arkansas. He's not one of the three best players on their team. So we've had conversations about Bill and maybe where he's fallen short. You can have that exact same conversation about John Calipari, whether it was the end of his time in Kentucky and also him struggling to transition to Arkansas. He got a complete clean slate. They're a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. I think that Kansas is going to win today. I think that Kansas is better coached than Arkansas. I think that Kansas has better talent than I believe that Arkansas has. I think that KU is a better team than Arkansas. You also have to factor in that Arkansas is dealing with injuries. One of their best players, one of their leading scorers, is out with an injury. And one of their star freshmen, one of their big recruits that they brought in, Boogie Flan, is coming back off injury. He hasn't played since the middle of February. We're talking about a very lengthy period of inactivity. And we're now going to drop a freshman into the middle of the NCAA tournament. No ramp-up games. You didn't play in the end of the regular season. You didn't play in the SEC tournament. You're just going to pop up against Kansas in the tournament. I think that Kansas wins today. I'm not super optimistic about KU's ability to make a run in this year's NCAA tournament, but I do think that you got the right first draw. I think you got a team that is almost identical to what you've been. A team that was picked to have very serious expectations back in November, a team that people thought could be a top 10 team, a team thought that people could make a Final Four run, and a team that has fallen short of those expectations. There is going to be a team somewhere between the 4 seed and the 7 seed that makes a run in the NCAA tournament from a major conference. Is that a team from the SEC? Is that a team from the ACC that was underseeded? Is that a KU team? There is going to be one of those kind of teams. Can KU, and we'll get to Missouri here coming up in a bit, are they teams that have the ability to put it together for the next 2 or 3 games? Because if you can put it together for the next 2 or 3 games, you wake up and you find yourself in the Sweet 16. You wake up and find yourself in the Elite 8 playing for a chance to go to the Final Four. That is going to be someone's dream, whether it's an Ole Miss, whether it's a Missouri, whether it's a BYU. That is going to be a reality for one of the teams in this NCAA tournament. The hope is that it has to be one of your teams. Earlier in the week when we started looking ahead, and we started talking more about these matchups once the matchups came in stone, I've been thinking a lot about what CJ Moore talked to us about in the Styles Make Fights. For those of you that don't know, Missouri is 10th in possessions in college basketball. Missouri is a team that wants to run up and down the floor. Missouri is a team that takes shots early on in the shot clock because they want to get as many possessions as possible, because obviously the more possessions you get, the more amount of points that you can score. Drake is the exact opposite offensive philosophy. They want to go deep into the shot clock. They were dead last in possessions in college basketball. Missouri wants to go fast, 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 rush, rush, rush. And Drake wants to go slow and control the tempo and control the pace. Who can control the pace in this matchup is ultimately who is going to win this game. Here was CJ Moore on the show earlier with us this week.
I think it's going to go slow because Drake dictates the tempo just about better than anybody else in college basketball. So I think it's going to be played at Ben's terms, unless somehow Missouri is able to really create some live ball turnovers and you know, create pace in that way. But if they're not able to get turnovers, like, Drake's going to get back on defense. They're going to get in their shell. They're going to make it really, really hard for you to get good early shots. And if you're impatient and just take bad early shots, that's going to play in their favor because they will not get sped up. They will not take bad shots. Bennett's going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to control the game.
That was C.J. Moore earlier this week when talking about the matchup coming up later today between Missouri and Drake. I think we're looking at two very entertaining games, two very good teams in Missouri and Drake, and two teams on the Kansas-Arkansas side that have been a little bit up and down, a little bit inconsistent, but certainly have a capability of being able at this time of the season to put it together and play some of their best basketball. I'm picking Missouri to win this game for a couple of different reasons. Number one, I don't think that Drake has played a team as talented and as deep as Missouri. And for all the problems that I think Missouri has had in the last month or so, I do think that we have to keep some of those problems in a relative sense. They've been losing to NCAA tournament teams in the SEC. I mean, if you go back, they lost to Florida, a team that's a one seed. They lost to Kentucky, a team that's a three seed. Oklahoma that made the NCAA tournament. Vanderbilt that made the NCAA tournament. Texas A&M, Tennessee. They've been losing to teams that have been top 16 teams in the NCAA tournament. I don't think that's what Drake is. Drake isn't a team that is particularly deep. They don't play a lot of guys where Missouri does. I'm also not really sure if Drake can match up athletically down low with Missouri. I think this is the game in which Mark Mitchell could play very well. I think this is the game that Joshua Gray, their big guy, the transfer from South Carolina, I think he could potentially be a difference maker at the rim in this game. I look at Trent Pierce, a kid that played pretty well in the two games that Missouri had in the SEC championship game. I don't know if Drake really has a player that can match up with him athletically. I think Missouri is going to have to try to speed this game up a little bit. I do think that Drake is going to be able to control some of the tempo in this matchup, but I think this is a game that the public is all over Drake, and I certainly get it. I think they're the best mid-major team in college basketball. I don't know if they have enough of the pieces to beat Missouri in this matchup. I think Missouri wins this game somewhere like 75-69, somewhere in that range. I think Missouri is a better team than Drake. I think they're a deeper team than Drake. I think they are tournament tested where they've played at least 15-20 games against a team that's comparable to Drake. I don't know if Drake has played that many teams that are on the same level. I would say I think the game can go very similar. Rob and I just watched the Purdue High Point game. I think it could end up being very, very similar. A lot of people liked High Point to be able to win that game, and High Point certainly did some things well, but in the end, I think you saw that the size of Purdue was a big difference, and I think you could see that the guard play on one side was better than it was on the other side. I'm hoping, as a Missouri fan, that that is the case later today as Missouri plays Drake. We're going to bounce back and forth between those two games. Coming up on the other side, we're going to head to Providence, Rhode Island, and be joined by the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. Brian Haney is set to call in. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. We are going to bounce back and forth between Kansas, Missouri. We're also going to get you covered for the rest of the day's action in the NCAA tournament. You don't need to go anywhere. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan. This is what we'll do. Coming up after Brian Haney, Rob, if you can, I'd like for you to give people an update on the scores. Maybe people missed it. We'll do that. We'll also take a look at this afternoon's game. So we're kind of winding down, I guess, the first game of the session. We're transitioning to the second game of the session. We'll do all that coming up in a bit. But let's head to Providence right now to be joined by the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, friend of the show, Brian Haney, getting you ready for tonight's action between the Jayhawks and the Razorback. Brian, happy to have you on the show. You have called games in March Madness. You've called games in Allen Fieldhouse. You called games at the T-Mobile Center for the Big 12. What is it like to call March Madness? What is it about March that makes it so special?
I'd like to think our preparation is the same because we treat every game, whether it's a directional school in early November or the end of the season run like this, with the same amount of preparation and detail. But the vibe, the energy, the excitement is different. The pageantry, just walking around the event site. Yesterday, I was in line at a CVS, and an old man in a wheelchair and I struck up a conversation, and it took me 2 minutes to realize I was talking to Gene Cady, the legendary Purdue Boilermakers coach, a large learned Kansas native, former K-State Wildcat player, and we had the best conversation ever, and you just never know who you're going to run into this time of year, especially this year up here in Providence. The fact that you've got Patino, Calipari, and Self all in the same little pod here, it feels like a Elite Eight Final Four type grouping, and all the fan base's excitement and the way those fans have kind of descended upon this area, it makes for a different kind of vibe and energy you can't get at any other point of the year.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, joining us on the show today, getting you ready for their matchup coming up later tonight against the Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm sure by now you watched a handful of Arkansas games. You guys also got to see them earlier in the year in one of those exhibition preseason matchups. What do you notice about Arkansas? What stands out when you watch them?
They're fast. They're explosive. They've got athletes that, you know, had they played together the full season and been blessed with good fortune on the health front, this would absolutely be, you know, a 4 or 5 seed, not a 10 seed. This would be a team, and still could be, that makes a run to the Elite Eight. When we left Fayetteville in October, and we had just seen them, I don't want to say dismantle, but they beat us pretty dang good without Hunter Dickinson, without Rylan Griffin, without Shaquille Moore. You took it with a grain of salt because KU was missing 3 of their 9 rotational pieces, but you also kind of said to yourself, whoa, these guys are fast, they're quicker than us, they're stronger than us at the guard spots. We didn't know what to compare the post to because Hunter didn't play, and Flory at that time probably weighed 210 pounds, and so you didn't really know what to compare the interior to, but I thought to myself, these guards are better than us, and it's significant. Zeke didn't look good in the game. DeJuan scored a ton, but Boogie Flan torched us on the other end. DJ Wagner's a top 5 overall player from a year ago when he was at Kentucky, consensus 5-star recruit, and I said it on the post game. Arkansas, to me, looks like a top 10 team. This might be a collision course in the Elite Eight or the Final Four if these two teams have the type of seasons they're capable of. Obviously, for Kansas, it's not been that. Highly inconsistent in February. It took us over a month to win back-to-back games. We went 5-7 in a 12-game stretch after blowing the lead twice versus Houston at home at the end of regulation and the end of the first overtime. And we did some very un-Kansas-like things. And I know you were keeping a close tab on it as Mr. Mizzou over there, and I respect you a ton, my man. But it was an atypical year for us. And obviously that included a loss in Columbia on the same week that we lost in Omaha at Creighton. And before that, we'd been undefeated and number one ranked, and you started to kind of see some holes, and you started to see some inconsistencies that could lead to disappointment, and that's certainly what this season has been. But now you get to March, and we're much healthier than we were the first time we faced Arkansas. We're a team that I think has had a couple of, maybe 3, key pieces really have a sustained uptick of late. And I'm talking about Hunter Dickinson the last 3 weeks of the regular season when he was averaging 23 a game, and he's had double-doubles in 7 of his last 8. I'm talking about Zeke Mayo that's had 3 straight games of 5-plus threes made. Now can he truly take the show on the road? Because his first 8 games of the season with 5-plus threes were all in Allen Fieldhouse. His next 2 were in what we like to think is Allen Fieldhouse East at T-Mobile. Can he do it away from home? We'll find out. And I think KJ Adams over the last 3 or 4 weeks has been a different guy in terms of the all-out energy and just, you know, leaving it all out on the floor. I know that sounds cliche, but I've never seen a player empty his bucket with the want to, as Roy Williams used to say, more so than KJ has of late. And that's led to more defensive rebounds, which is always a criticism of his from the fan base. He's looked like a more impactful player as the energy tone setter. So to me, there's reasons to have hope. But there's also reasons for fear and trepidation because the same concerns we had back in October when Arkansas looked so much more athletic and explosive on the perimeter remain 5 months later. And that'll be something I'm looking at of paramount importance here tonight.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, getting you ready for their matchup coming up later tonight against the Arkansas Razorbacks. You know, coaching rivalries are such a foundation of college basketball. This is actually the 14th matchup between John Calipari and Bill Self. How have you seen that rivalry grow over the years? Because it was in Memphis for the national championship. It was in Kentucky for the national championship. And now John Calipari is on a different school. He is now at Arkansas.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the dynamic of their relationship. Two former KU GAs under Larry Brown. They crossed paths briefly. They weren't synced up perfectly in their time on the Kansas campus, but they go back to the mid-'80s because of Coach Brown. And then, you know, to see the history you talked about, two national title games, one of which KU wins in San Antonio, the other KU loses in New Orleans. High-level ball played between these two, and then they start playing each other almost every year between the Champions Classic and the Big 12 SEC Challenge, and trips to Lexington and Lawrence became a regular thing between these two. And, you know, I think you could call it a friendship. Certainly Calipari described it as such yesterday. He said it's tough to play somebody you respect so much and you have a genuine friendship with because you're trying to beat each other's brains out, and then you'll feel bad about it for about 12 seconds after the game, and then you have to move on. Bill has called it a friendship, but he also joked the other day, it's not like Cal has him on speed dial or anything. But what I have noticed of these two that are very friendly and very respectful of each other and their respective careers is that when they've had a chance to collaborate on something, they've done a lot of it. And they get together and did this when Cal was at Kentucky many times. If we were playing in Lexington or they were playing in Lawrence, the night before there was some kind of charity dinner with a significant price point per head to be in the room, and they're raising money for various philanthropic organizations. They did something similar back in October in Fayetteville the night before the exhibition game. So I do think that it's a friendship. I don't think it's a, you know, best friendship or anything like that, but they like each other. They certainly respect each other, and obviously they've played for the highest of stakes against one another with very similar results. So we're looking forward to seeing another version of that. It's just so rare to see them playing in a round of 64 game instead of a Monday night in April.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Brian, who do you consider to be the X factor for KU if they're going to make a run? Because one topic that Rob and I discussed is, in March, there's always going to be that team that seeded a 6 or a 7 seed from a major conference that was kind of up or down, and they just figure it out at the absolute right time. They play 3 great games. Next thing you know, you look up and you find yourself in the Elite Eight. Why couldn't that be Kansas? Why couldn't that be a team like Arkansas that obviously has the talent? We obviously know in order for KU to advance, you need Hunter to play well. You need DeJuan Harris to play well. You need KJ Adams. Who's that other player where if KU is going to go on a run, they're going to have a phenomenal next couple of days?
It's a complicated answer because so many things have to go right for Kansas. But if you ask me to boil it down to just one guy, and I was asked a similar question about 2 weeks ago, and I said heading into our senior day, man, if one guy could just have a good game and get his swagger back and just see where it might take him, I sure hope Zeke Mayo can find the bottom of the net and get his confidence back and get on a roll. And sure enough, 3 straight games of 5-plus threes. He's now switched up the haircut, by the way. You'll notice it when you see him take the floor tonight. He's going all out in the wake of, you know, what happened 3 weeks ago with the social media criticism and the tweet he put out, screenshotting a lot of the hate he was receiving after the Texas Tech game. And I think he's a man on a mission now. And he's kind of taken on a different persona and you know, keeping a tight huddle, and he's locked in. And I think he's the type of guy that if he can shoot with that kind of consistency, as we all know, many times advancing in March comes down to guard play and shot making. It's so paramount for this Kansas team, though, because if you don't have viable three-point options because DeJuan and KJ are not guys you have to guard extended to the perimeter, defenses can really clamp down around Hunter and make life suffocating for him in the post. So it's so important that Zeke and Ryland have consistent 3-point threes going in for Kansas, but particularly Zeke, because he's been your most reliable high-volume guy. He's your second leading scorer, now 10 games of 5-plus threes. If you wanted to ask for a second X factor, give me Zeke every game, but then give me some shooter du jour combination of Diggy, Ryland, and AJ. And it doesn't matter if it's consecutive games or if it's a different guy every night, but you need that second option to step up and deliver. And they've all given us glimpses of that. I mean, AJ gave us 19 points in the first Big 12 tournament game last week versus UCF. We remember the 5 3-pointer game that Ryland Griffin had versus Houston the first time we faced them. And certainly Diggy's had several big moments over the last month and a half in Big 12 play, showing that, hey, he may be closer to 5'8 than he is 5'11, but he's got the heart of a lion, and he's not afraid way to get up shots. And so give me Zeke as the X factor every night. And if the X factor doesn't show up, we could go home tonight. But also put a caveat in there that if they really want to go far, you need somebody from that other trio of shooters to step up each night. Could be a different guy each night, but you got to have that supporting cast help. That'll make life so much easier in spacing the floor and letting Hunter feast in the interior, though that is certainly easier said than done against some very obvious length and athleticism in the interior that Arkansas will present tonight. And if you're lucky enough to advance and it's St. John's, oh my. Zubi Ejiofor, the former Jayhawk, versus Hunter Dickinson. St. John's, the number one defensive team in America, according to KenPom, versus Kansas. That would be a ton of fun on Saturday afternoon.
Brian, last thing here, and we appreciate your time. To me, today's matchup seems very, very simple. As somebody who has seen Kansas in person four separate times this year, and I watched a lot of SEC basketball, this matchup to me comes down to Hunter Dickinson against Big Z from Arkansas. If Hunter Dickinson plays like an All-American and has 24 and 10 today, I think that Kansas wins that game. And I actually think there's enough length and size on KU to actually stand up against Arkansas. If Big Z can do a decent job of neutralizing Hunter Dickinson and taking away one of KU's primary scoring options, then I think Arkansas wins. I think this game is a coin flip, but I actually think that KU is going to win. I think KU is a better team than Arkansas.
I think they are too, but I've also seen us, you know, on enough nights where shots weren't falling or Hunter came out and got off to a 1-of-6 start and wasn't able to rebound, or Zeke for that matter, misses his first couple and suddenly that rim gets smaller. And next thing you know, we're clawing out of a 12-point deficit quicker than you could say rock chalk. I've never seen a Kansas team have to play from behind more than this group. So I think a fast start is imperative. I think on the other end, and I love what you said about the matchup in the post, on the other end, how does Kansas stop the ball? How do they slide their feet and stay in front of Boogie and Wagner and all these explosive guards? That's the matchup nightmare for me, and that's where you hope somebody like DeJuan Harris, who can be a little Jekyll and Hyde at times. We saw him in 2023 be the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, but other times against more explosive, quick physical guards, at times it can be an issue. And we saw Boogie take it to us pretty good in that exhibition game, and Wagner can certainly do the same. What does Kansas do to stop some of that elite level scoring on the perimeter? Nelly, another guy, Davis from the great run that FIU had a few years back, he'll be a guy you have to contest with as well. So you got a lot of guard options that concern me. But if Vucic versus Dickinson, Tosin Adu, Tennessee transfer, and then your man from Missouri has been a different kind of force the last few weeks. I'm talking about Trevin Brazil. I think he brings some athleticism and length and an extra scoring punch of late that Calipari's turned to of late that makes them much more dynamic as well. So keep an eye on him, too, as a real difference maker in this matchup tonight.
Brian, you know I'm a big fan of yours. You only said one thing incorrect this entire time. Brazil is not a player that we claim at the University of Missouri. We let him go a long time ago. That is the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, joining us on the show today. Brian, don't tell anybody, but you are one of my favorite people, even though you are the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, man. I appreciate your time.
I feel the same about you, buddy. Nothing but love and respect. Always love it when we get to cross paths in person, and it's a special invite any chance I get to come on your show. So thank you for saying that. Sorry I got that wrong on Brazil. We will strike that from the official record.
That is my guy, Brian Haney, joining us on the show today. We got a couple of games that have just tipped off. Clemson is up 4-2 early against McNeese State. It's obviously 3 minutes into the game, so nothing really to update you there. All right, Rob, this is what I would like to do. I want to get your early feel, your early sense about your Jayhawks later today. You told me that you are speeding out of here. Usually, you and I kind of hang around a little bit. We talk. We kind of recap the show. We look ahead to. No, not with KU playing in the NCAA tournament at 6:10. You're out of here. You might not even do the final set of show today. I might have to talk and hit the buttons today. How are you feeling about your Jayhawks that it's finally here, round one of the NCAA tournament against Arkansas?
So I had a lot of confidence early in the week because I felt like Kansas is the superior team, and I still feel like they're the superior team, better coach, more talent. But man, Kansas' problem this year among many, excuse me, is the fact that when they match up with more athletic guards, they have a problem. Zeke Mayo can make shots. We saw in the Arizona game at Sprint Center. If you are more athletic than him, you can turn the corner and you can get buckets on him. DeJuan Harris is a maligned player by fans. One of the reasons he's maligned is he's a solid defender, but he lacks elite athleticism. When you're going up against Boogie Bland, even if he is limited with injury, when you're going up against DJ Wagner, who's a guy that has not lived up to expectations but is a quality basketball player, it is nerve-wracking. KU has a massive advantage in the post, but if this is a guard game, KU could be in trouble, is my early thought.
All right, let's do this. For people who have maybe missed the early part of the NCAA tournament, let's give people the scores. You and I got a chance to watch the early games. We'll give our thoughts, and then we'll also take a look ahead to the games that we have coming up here in this middle session. There is one that is currently going on, Clemson against McNeese State. We got VCU and BYU, and then we got Georgia and Gonzaga. That game is happening in Wichita. That game tips off in an hour or so. All right, Rob, let's update people on the NCAA tournament. This is also the perfect time to tell you that our tournament coverage right here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. All right, Rob, take it away.
Carrington, three games have gone finals so far earlier today. Let's start with the most interesting one. Creighton in Lexington, Kentucky pulls, I don't know if they would call it an upset in a 9-8 game, but they throttled Louisville 89-75. A lot of people, myself, fell for the Louisville playing in Lexington gambit. They lost earlier today to Creighton.
Really quick, I'm just talk about the games. I actually think that Creighton is a little bit underseeded. This is the team that made a run last year in the NCAA tournament. I just think because of the conference that they play in the Big East, they got a little bit underseeded. I think this goes to show you how overvalued the ACC was. We're talking about this is one of the better teams in the ACC. It was Duke, Louisville, and Clemson were the top teams. And Louisville, in a basically home environment, they were never really in the game. They were down 15 at halftime in this one. I think Creighton is good. Now, they're going to run up against Auburn, who's one of the best teams in the country. But Creighton has one of the better bigs in the country. This is a tournament-tested team, a team with a very good coach. Creighton absolutely took care of business earlier today.
Let's talk now about the second game that went final today. A trendy upset pick did not come to fruition as Purdue, the 4 seed in the Midwest region, took care of business, beating High Point, a 13 seed. They won 75-63. Purdue now awaits the winner of McNeese State in Clemson, which has just tipped off.
There was never a time in which High Point could have won this basketball game. I know that they were a very trendy, popular pick. There was actually a boost on one of the gambling apps. You could have got them at plus 350 on the money line. They were really pushing you in the direction that this was going to be the upset of the NCAA tournament. That never really came to fruition. It was very obvious that Purdue was the better team. They had better guard play. They had better size down low. Purdue now, we'll see who they go up against. Are they going to go up against the 5 seed Clemson? Or are they going to go up against McNeese State? But this was a comfortable win for the Boilermakers.
The final game that's been officially gone final, and it just happened a little bit ago, in the East region, the 3 seed Wisconsin is marching on as they took care of business against Montana with a 19-point win. Carrington, not much interest in a 3-14 matchup, but now we got BYU and VCU waiting in the wings for the Badgers.
I told you that I think Wisconsin can make a run to the Final Four. I really do. I think this Wisconsin team is playing some of its best basketball in the season. I think you saw earlier today that they can score. I like them to win their next matchup against BYU or VCU. I also think Wisconsin pulls off the upset against whoever could potentially come out of the lower half of that bracket. I'm telling you, watch out for the Badgers. They got Final Four potential. I really like this Wisconsin team.
3 games have tipped off. I won't waste much time. SIUE is down by 37. They are down 68-31.
Wasn't really no reason to even talk much about them. Houston, I think, is the best team in this tournament. I think they're going to win this tournament. They are doing what 1 seeds are supposed to do, and they're putting a hurting on SIU.
Speaking of 1 seeds, 1 1-seed is not doing what they're supposed to do, albeit still in the first half. 5 minutes to play in the South region. Auburn and Alabama State. Alabama State coming off a Tuesday buzzer beater win in the first four.
Yeah.
Auburn, my pick to be in the national title game, Johnny Brome and co. are only up by 4 right now with 4:55 to play in the first half.
I'm telling you, something is wrong with Auburn. I don't know why you don't believe me. It is hard to have things completely turned off and then turn them back on. Auburn has had a terrible month of March. They have a losing record in the month of March. Now, I didn't expect them to lose to the 16 seed or be in a dogfight with the 16 seed, but I'm not surprised that the lazy, sloppy play from the Auburn Tigers has now continued into the NCAA tournament. That's not surprising at all. I'm telling you, Creighton is going to give them a game. Creighton has the size. They got the experience. They're not rolling over Creighton. What is Auburn going to probably be in that game? A 6.5-point favorite? 7.5-point favorite?
Probably.
I would take Creighton in the points.
All right, and finally, the game that it just tipped off, but it's a trendy upset pick. Future North Carolina State coach Will Wade.
Yeah, no, that's real.
And McNeese State, it's early going. It's 6-4 against Clemson. Do you believe that is the 12-5 matchup to watch today? Because it is a – talk about trendy upset pick. That is super trendy.
I think Clemson – I think McNeese State got a chance to win this game, bro. I really do. I think McNeese State's got a chance, man. You know they're well coached. They probably have more talent than they should. Clemson is a little bit overseeded and overvalued in this matchup. I'm telling you, watch out for McNeese State. I think it's going to be a fun one. I actually think these two games that we have in the afternoon are not that bad games. VCU and BYU has a chance to be an incredibly high-scoring game.
I'm very excited for that game.
To give you an idea, the total is 147. So they think this is going to be a 70-something game played on either side. That game has a chance to be a lot of fun. Gonzaga and Georgia, I also think, has a chance to be a fun game as well. I like Gonzaga to take care of business in that game. I just think they're better than Georgia in that matchup. All right, coming up on the other side, we're going to bounce back and forth between Kansas and Missouri for the entire show. Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by the voice of the Drake Bulldogs, Michael Admire. He's actually from here. He went to high school at Lee Summit West. He is going to be on the show coming up on the other side. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Today is the day one of the NCAA tournament. Kansas plays Arkansas later today. The Missouri Tigers play the Drake Bulldogs. Speaking of the Drake Bulldogs, we're happy right now to go to the phone lines to be joined by the voice of the Drake Bulldogs. He is from where you and I are from. He is from Lee Summit. He graduated high school from Lee Summit West. He's now gone on to be the voice of the Drake Bulldogs. Michael Admire joins us on the show. Michael, we really appreciate your time. I have been a big fan of this Drake team the entire season. I got a lot of respect for their team. I got a lot of respect for their head coach. I think that Drake is the best mid-major program in the country. You watch this team as much as anybody. Do you agree? Do you think they're the best mid-major?
I think if they're not the best, they're up there. And I know you've been on the Dogs since back in December, so I appreciate the attention you have given to Drake this year. The way that they play, they're so fundamentally sound. They have one of the best coaches in the country, which folks in Kansas City are well aware of what Ben McCollum can do X's and O's wise, but also, you know, creating a culture. And he's done that in, you know, less than a year on the job. It's been impressive. They play connected and, you know, 30 wins. You don't, you know, accidentally get to a 30-3 record and win the Missouri Valley Conference regular season in tournament. That's a tough conference, a really tough mid-major conference, and the Bulldogs kind of dominated it.
Right now, we're talking to Michael Admire. He is the voice of the Drake Bulldogs. Let's talk about the coach, Ben McCollum. I think he's the next Bill Self. You remember Bill Self's trajectory. Bill Self started at Oral Roberts. Then he went to Tulsa. Then he went to Illinois. Then he became the head coach at Kansas. I think we're looking at something very similar with Ben McCollum. Now that you've been around him and seen it up close, what do you think makes him such a great coach?
Well, here on Drake, we're hoping he's the next Mark Few. He just locks into the mid-major, one program, and rides it out for his career. But I do like the comparison. He does a lot of things really well. I think one thing that I really appreciated about him is when he got the job, he kind of just did it his way. He, you know, did not listen to outside noise of what type of players he should bring in. He brought four guys from Northwest Missouri State. Could they compete at the D1 level? You know, had those questions. But he trusted his ability to evaluate. He trusted what he had seen, and he's been proven right. He only rode with a 12-player roster. I mean, you can have up to, you know, Mizzou has 18 players on the roster. Coach Mack kept it short, kept a tight circle this year, and that certainly has worked. But when it comes to, you know, the tactician side of things, he coaches defense to an elite level. He actually gets, you know, calls from Grant McCaslin and Shaka Smart and some of the you know, great basketball coaches throughout the country. They call him about his offenses, but he is an elite defensive coach. And I think that's something that we'll see on the floor today. He is able to, you know, kind of do the Bill Belichick thing, you know, take away the other team's, you know, strengths and, you know, manipulate their weaknesses. And you kind of combine all of those things, and that's why his name is being circled around with, you know, all the jobs in college basketball right now.
Right now we're talking to Mackel Admire. He is the voice of the Drake Bulldogs. I feel kind of proud that I can say that I saw this player play in high school. I've been watching Bennett Sturge play basketball since he was a sophomore at Liberty. So to watch his game evolve and mature to this point where he's not just one of the best mid-major point guards in the country, he is one of the best point guards in the country, period. How have you seen his game evolve? What kind of leader has he been for the Drake Bulldogs?
Hey, your love for KC high school basketball is paying off right now, man. You got the great matchup here today between a bunch of guys from the KC Metro. And, yeah, I mean, his game last year, he was second team all-conference in the MIAA, Division II conference, that Northwest played in. And now he's an honorable mention All-American. His game has developed in so many ways throughout the year. He's kind of turned into a killer. His confidence has really grown throughout the year. No bigger stage than against Kansas State in Kansas City, that neutral site game back in December. Bennett Sturge has a great game, and then he hits the game-winning three in the final second. So he's kind of turned into a little bit of a killer. He's humble. He's quiet. His game doesn't welcome a bunch of attention until he does stuff like that. So, you know, seeing his confidence grow throughout the year has been awesome. But he's also really good in the ball screen, top of the key ball screen reads and reacting. He's a hooper, and he just really is really studies the game and knows the game well.
The big thing for me in this matchup is somebody who has watched a lot of Missouri this year, and I've certainly seen enough of Drake, is going to be this is the ultimate styles make fights. Missouri wants to run up and down the floor. They are 10th in possessions. Drake is dead last in possessions. They want to play the game slow. It does feel to me the team that can dictate the fight, the team that can dictate the style of this game, is ultimately going to be the one that wins this matchup.
I mean, I can't agree more. It is two very contrasting styles. We've seen it play out a few times this year with Drake, going down and playing Vanderbilt in the Charleston Classic, playing Kansas State in Kansas City. I don't know how familiar folks in Kansas City are with the style that Bradley plays, but Bradley, they're one of the most efficient offensive teams in all of college basketball. They've got a ton of length. They're pretty athletic as well. They obviously don't have the SEC athleticism that Mizzou has, but, you know, games like that have been tightly contested. They've been fun matchups. You know, there might be a few times where you're watching and driven crazy by the style that Drake plays, with how they will slow it down a little bit in the half court and they really shrink the floor defensively. It will be, Coach McCollum, he has this hashtag that, they use as kind of like a culture setting hashtag, and it's impose your will. And so that has been ingrained in this Drake team's mind since the day that they, started practice back in June.
Right now, we're learning a little bit more about the Drake Bulldogs with Mackel Admire. How do you think Drake can match up potentially with the athleticism of Missouri? I am guessing that Drake hasn't played many teams that have the depth and the variety of options that Missouri has in the athleticism. How do you think the Bulldogs match up?
Honestly, not great when it comes to that. I mean, we couldn't work on them growing over the last 11 days to get prepared for this game. So, yeah, that's a scary thing. I mean, Mizzou is incredibly athletic. They are a deep team. Drake doesn't go very deep into the bench. They have two players that are 1-2 in the country in minutes played per game, Bennett Sturts, who we just talked about, and Mitch Mascheri. So they've got guys that will play a ton of minutes and are used to it. But that is something that scares you. Coach Mack, I just actually sat down with him and did our pregame interview. And a line that he used, I'll use here, is he says, we got to use Missouri's athleticism against them. I'm not entirely sure what that means. Maybe it's the aggressiveness that Missouri plays with, you know, try to use that against them, but that's the plan, and we'll see how it plays out.
Last thing here, give me an X factor. We talked about Bennett Sturts. He's the point guard. He was an honorable All-American. He's one of the best players in the country, but it's more than just him on this Drake Bulldogs team. If Drake is able to pull off the upset, who else has to play well for the Bulldogs?
Well, player-wise, Tavion Banks, he played high school ball at Ruskin for a couple of years before going to prep school. He's from Kansas City. He is maybe the one guy athletically that can line up with the Missouri Tigers. So he's somebody that comes off the bench. He was a sixth player of the year in the Missouri Valley Conference. When he scores in double figures, Drake wins. They're 17-0 when Banks is in double figures. So he's somebody you want to keep an eye on. And then Drake has a freshman, Isaiah Howard, from Plattsburgh, Missouri. He was a prolific scorer in high school, and he's really coming to his own over the last two, 3 weeks. He had a great Missouri Valley Conference tournament. If those two guys can provide a spark off the bench and can match Missouri's energy off the bench, because Mizzou's so good and so deep when they go to their bench. So if those two guys can run with the Tigers, I think that could be something to keep an eye on. Also, just as like when you're talking about X factors, I think Missouri's offensive rebounding will be a huge key. Drake isn't very big, but they are extremely good at rebounding the basketball. One of the most highest rebounding percentages in the country. So if Missouri is able to get those offensive boards and putbacks and extend possessions, it could be a long day for Drake.
That is Michael Admire joining us on the show today. Michael, I really wish I could cheer for Drake. If Drake was playing any other team in the country, I would be cheering for the Drake Bulldogs. I can't do it today, but good luck later today, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, if things go Drake's way, then you can turn the bandwagon over to the Bulldogs and ride with us. But no, I get it. I appreciate it. And best of luck to your Tigers today.
Absolutely. That's Michael Admire joining us on the show. Right now, Clemson is in a little bit of trouble. It is early, but McNeese State is up 18-8 against Clemson. Clemson has not made a three in this game. They are getting completely outplayed right now by the Will Wade-led squad, who has already taken the NC State job. We're going to continue to bounce back and forth between MU and KU. We're going to head down to Fayetteville, Arkansas, coming up to get you ready for the Jayhawks round one game. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.